Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's our good friend, Stephen Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports. Stephen, how's it going, my friend?
Mike, it's going great. Hard at work on the Athlon Sports College Football Magazine. I know for all of the college football junkies and sickos like myself, that is getting me through this long off season that we are about to embark on. So how's things going your way, my friend? Keeping busy as well, I assume?
Yeah, shout out Cousin Ben. He said he saw us, saw me on three this morning. So I was filling in for, it was me and JD for the Andy and Ari show. So if you missed it, go check that out. Free plug. I don't get any clicks off that or anything, but that was a good time. But I'm here. I'm happy, Stephen, to be breaking down SEC football. I know it's nearly the end of February, but we're still grinding, man. We've got our eye. I don't care how far away the college football season is. We're still thinking about it. And Stephen had what heck of an idea. He wanted to predict the over-under win totals for 2025 each team. I know a couple of them have come out, but we want to do all. I mean, I don't understand why they do that, Steve. Why would they throw out like five of them but leave the other 11? I don't know, but that's what we're here to do. We're here to fill in the gaps. What made you want to hit on this topic?
I think it's the reason that you mentioned is seeing those early win totals a couple weeks ago sort of gave me a little bit of an appetizer for the real thing. And that's kind of my idea here. Let's get the whole buffet out, all 16 teams. Let's talk from, you know, best to the least or best to worst and most to least projected wins this season. But I think we're kind of getting to that point to where spring ball is just over there. I guess not that far away, whatever you can read into it. It's just nice to see highlights of like Bo Prabula throwing the football and, you know, Kentucky's offense at work. So with that coming up, I thought this would be a good time to start thinking a little bit about early predictions. And hey, I know everybody agreed with my quarterback rankings, my coach rankings. So I figured everybody would agree with the win totals, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can promise you that ain't going to happen, Steven. But hey, before we jump into that, we were just talking off air about the SEC possibly moving to nine game conference schedule. I think for sure that is likely to happen. I guess I just contradicted myself. Maybe not for sure, but I'd say it's about 95% that the SEC goes to a nine game conference schedule. What's your thoughts on that?
Mike, I think it's a great idea. And I think for a couple different reasons, I think more SEC versus SEC ball is good with me. And I would rather see South Carolina play Alabama as opposed to seeing South Carolina play Jacksonville State or something. Right. It's better for you as the fan. It's certainly better for the dollar, the revenue too. And I think it makes sense if you're guaranteed those spots in the playoff because you're not worried necessarily as much about strength of schedule or getting to a record that's just, this is where you got to be for the playoff. You're already guaranteed. So if you can guarantee those spots, ESPN's willing to pay you the money. Those games are better anyways. It just makes sense for the SEC. So sign me up. Anytime I can get more SEC, I'm more SEC. I am good with it.
Right. And I don't know if you've done any of the numbers. So sorry if I'm just putting you on the spot here. But I wonder if nine games also makes it a little bit easier to do tiebreakers as opposed to the current, you know, so many teams could potentially go 4-4. I wonder if it's, you know, potentially clears up any tiebreakers. I know there'll still be some, but I wonder if nine games, well, certainly I think nine games will help separate the best in the conference from the rest, if that makes sense.
I think it could potentially. I think, let me go ahead and open the door for where the complaint is going to land if there is the shift to nine games. That will be some teams get five home games and then some teams get four. So just get ready for that. That has been a popular thing in other conferences that shifted to nine games. But I mean, Mike, is it more SEC on SEC good on good? What we want here, it just makes a ton of sense. It's going to add up financially. Maybe we get more, you know, as you said, you know, Texas and Georgia playing. I would love to see Texas and LSU play this year. So to me, it just makes a ton of sense financially and for all the benefits it's going to have in potentially this expanded version of the playoff, wherever it lands, 14 or 16.
Man, you just got me You got the wheels spinning now, Steven. I can see it now. Kirby complains about getting only three SEC home games because the fourth is down in Jacksonville. That is going to be written in stone. Why did Texas get five home games? We only get three. This ain't fair. You know, that's going to be Kirby Smart as soon as the schedule's released.
Oh, Mike, you can bet it is. As each different format, the schedule changes. You know exactly as I know, the complaint window just changes. The goalposts are going to move to something else. It will be the home games. It will be even more unbalanced schedules. I am curious along with this, like there's been some idea about reimagining conference championship game weekend. And there's been some thought maybe that would be the ninth game. And it's just a bunch of matchups that are scheduled. There's some different variations that have been proposed. So there's still some unknown to me exactly how this is going to work, but I think at the end of the day, if you're a fan, more, as I said, good on good is better for fans. It's better for season tickets. It's better for TV. There's really no downside to it, especially since you were worried in the past about playoff seeding and records. Now that really doesn't matter in this era of the 14 or 16 team playoff, and those things kind of go out the window.
Do you like this proposed championship weekend, SEC, all SEC? I mean, I get maybe we're giving them 10 games now. I mean, this is kind of crazy to me, but what's your thoughts? There's a six team championship weekend that's been proposed. There's an 8-team championship weekend. What's your thoughts on these?
I love both ideas. I think it's kind of the point of reimagining conference championship game weekend is almost like, let's just throw something on the wall. Let's see what sticks and let's see what makes sense, because I sort of like protecting those top teams. And the problem is each year could be different. You could have two teams that are at the top and they are just clearly 1 and 2. You may have a year where number one is set, but 2 through 6 are pretty close. Looking at some of those hypothetical matchups, I mean, Tennessee versus South Carolina, if we had that last year, imagine Lenora Sellers going up against that Tennessee defense. I know we saw Alabama crush LSU, but hey, maybe the rematch would be a little bit different. So I don't know what the right answer is, but it feels like there's a chance to be a little creative with how you kind of shake this down in terms of whether it's give the top two a bye. You schedule the other two games, you get automatics. Maybe you let all the top 8 teams play. I'm really open to kind of any format here. I think there's a lot of opportunities for really kind of to make the conference championship game weekend almost like it is in basketball, where you get those automatic bids and, you know, we're all flipping around to figure out who wins the ACC and Big 12. Maybe when I get around to figuring out who's actually on some of these basketball teams. So,
yeah, absolutely. All right. So, Steven, next on the docket here, real quick, wanted to throw this your way. This is something that I've been sharing with cousin Shane here. But before we, you know, predict the over-under win totals, maybe this will sway you a little bit here. Total offensive returning production across the SEC heading into 2025. Steven, I don't know. And if I ever find out, that man's in trouble, because I have to make note, this is There's only two words here that we're highlighting here. Returning production. Does this include transfers? Hell no, it don't include transfer. If you're transferred in, you ain't returning. So if you're on the team last year and you produced a passing yard, rushing yard, receiving yard, or passing touchdown, rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown, and offensive line snaps, this is the only metric that I'm using here. Returning production across the SEC. Vanderbilt number one, A&M number two, Florida number three, Oklahoma four, LSU five, South Carolina six, Alabama seven, Mississippi State eight, and then the rest, they have less than 50%. Georgia, Arkansas, Tennessee, Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, Missouri, and Ole Miss dead last. Any of this surprise you? Does this give you second thoughts on any of these teams?
Mike, I think there's a couple things that stand out to me. I think, first of all, when we think about returning production, I think sometimes we immediately go to returning production equals experience coming back, which equals results. And I think that'll be interesting to track this year, is seeing what this data actually ends up meaning at the end of the season throw the transfer portal. And there's a lot of uncertainty more than ever in the rosters. But I think what this data is telling us, and I think first of all, Vanderbilt bringing back almost 80% of your offensive production with a quarterback that has lifted this program tells me that looking through some of the early, you know, kind of thoughts on Vanderbilt, maybe we're a little bit low on them. A&M in Florida, second and third, fitting into that wild card category for this season makes me a little bit more optimistic about their chances. And I think on the other side, when you look at Missouri and Ole Miss, 15th and 16th, those two teams don't return a lot, but they have good portal classes and they have good schedules. So those two teams will be interesting to track come next December and how they, what this data means for those teams.
And then here's same thing on the defensive side of the football. Man, Vanderbilt, number one again. How about that, Steven? Number one offense and number one defense returning production for the Commodores. Missouri, number two. They were second last on offense. They're second on defense. Alabama, third. Tennessee, fourth. Texas A&M, fifth. Mississippi State, sixth. Florida, seven. Auburn, eight. Texas, nine. Oklahoma 10, those all 10 of those return over half their defensive production. We got Kentucky after that. They're under 50. South Carolina, Georgia, LSU, Arkansas. And how about that, Steven? Ole Miss dead last again. Same team is number one in both, and the same program is last in both. So, oh, I don't know. As soon as I put this together, I mean, I'm not trying to skew you know where people's thoughts are on these teams, but I'm higher on Vanderbilt, I'm low on Ole Miss.
I am too. You know, after seeing this, I just kind of bump around a few points in the power rankings. It is early, but I think that definitely matters. And I think we saw this last year. Vanderbilt's defense got a lot better with Clark Lee calling the plays. When you're bringing back 75% of production, I think that kind of tells us there should be another step forward this year. But looking at that top five, seeing Alabama at third, I think expectations are very high for this defense in 2025, and rightfully so. The production is there for this group to take another step forward. Also, just looking at the last couple teams in the 13 through 16 range, there's Ole Miss, there's LSU, and there's Georgia. Each kind of a different tiers of where they are on defense. I mean, Georgia, we expect them to reload and be at the top of the SEC. I think they will, but this team has a lot more turnover and some more questions than we're used to. LSU only brings back 44%, but they also have the optimism angle of they should take a step forward in Blake Baker's second year. Then you look at Ole Miss, a ton of production gone, but also probably a lot of faith in Pete Golding in that group sort of solidifying as the year goes on. So kind of, again, some interesting storylines to track. And as we, it's a long ways off, but as we sit here in, you know, February, what does it mean come next December?
Yeah. And next, shout out Steven. He helped me with a lot of this with just the raw data that I had to put it all together. And then he's going to help me with some transfer portal information as well. So we just finished this. I know I'm behind the curve. Well, actually, I think I'm way ahead of the curve on the returning production. Everybody's already put out their portal class rankings and all this. Same data that I'm using here, I'm going to use for transfer portal classes. So hopefully I'll get that information out as soon as we can. And then once we have returning production, once we have transfer portal data, I think that, I mean, it's hard. It's hard as ever, Stephen, to project where these teams are going to be in the NIL and portal world. But those are data points that I think are impossible to ignore.
I agree with you. And we will have the spring portal window as well, and that'll give us another kind of clue. I think once you get past that point, like I almost hesitate right now to lock in myself into some of like an opinion about a team over another, because we got a lot of data to kind of look through over the next couple months, and we've studied the schedules. But as we get deeper into the offseason, once we get past that second portal window, and you mentioned the returning production, the transfer data, we kind of have everything we got to be able to start sifting through some of these teams. If nothing else, I think returning production gives you a really good idea of kind of how to start shaping the conversation around these teams. So I'm with you, Mike. I think these are really two important data pieces.
Now, you say you don't want to predict things, but that's exactly what we're about to do, Steven. So shout out, and this was your idea, so I don't feel bad saying that. We're going to predict the over under win totals for all 16 SEC teams. Throw us a donation if you'd like and mention your team, and we'll do your team immediately. Other than that, let's just go in a random order here. For usually I go alphabetical, Steven. I'm going random this time. How about we start with old LSU? How about it, Steven? And I've updated these schedules to make sure all the buys are accurate, putting in the little SEC logos. I mean, we should know by now who's in the conference, but just in case you don't, I think it's helpful to know how many conference games in a row you have. So let's run down LSU schedule real quick for those just listening later on. The opener at Clemson. Brian Kelly can't win a damn opener to save his life. This is going to be the most difficult one yet. But maybe this perhaps is his best team. So there's that. At Clemson, week one. Louisiana Tech at home. Florida at home. Southeast Louisiana at home. That's your first month. Then you're at Ole Miss. You get your bye week. And then your South Carolina comes to LSU. At Vanderbilt. Texas A&M at home. Then you get another bye week. And you're at Alabama, Arkansas at home, Western Kentucky at home, and then at Oklahoma to wrap us up. Steven, as you look at the LSU Tigers, what do you think the over-under win totals should be?
Mike, I am thinking college football playoff for LSU. So I am setting it at 9.5. Couple reasons why. I think when you look at that home slate, Florida, South Carolina, A&M. I think those are all toss-up games. They all come at LSU. They do get Alabama, Ole Miss, and Clemson, and Oklahoma on the road. So there's some good, there's some bad. They do miss Texas and Georgia, and I think those are the two best teams in the conference. So if I'm thinking playoff and I'm seeing those games, three of their tougher games come at home, I think they probably stumble. Maybe you just give them a loss to Clemson in the opener, given the track record, and they stumble at least once in SEC play. So if I was setting this, I like the over, but I think 9.5 seems about right.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I went a little bit lower, and I'm kind of regretting it already, but I said 9. Give me 9 for LSU, given the fact that they have a tough non-conference opener with Clemson. That's the difference for me. Of course, seemingly, they always have a tough non-conference opener. I don't know why, but man, the more I hear from LSU fans, Steven, it's playoff or bust. It's Brian Kelly, get his ass out of here if we don't make the playoff this year. You know what I mean? So the expectation is not even to make the playoff. He said it himself. I'm down here to win national championship. Well, they haven't sniffed that really, other than the first year when they won the Citrus Bowl, and not so much that they won the Citrus Bowl, but they won the West. But that's as close as they've come. And at LSU, they expect more. That's why I'm saying, man, maybe I messed up with a 9, but 9.5 is probably the correct number, because if you get to 10, I think you're in the playoff with this schedule. If you don't, if you hit that 9 number, you're probably out. And man, I think it should be playoff or bust for old LSU.
I agree. I think all the ingredients are there. I mean, you've got your difference maker, a quarterback. You've got a defense that should be, despite the returning production numbers, I think they will take a step forward this year. But that schedule does have some absolute landmines. I mean, the track record suggests LSU will lose that game to Clemson, but given how things go, it would not surprise me to see LSU win this game. You know, if you go into Clemson and win in the first week of the season, you're already talking about significantly bumping up expectations. And then you get the tricky road game against Ole Miss, kind of a revenge game for Ole Miss. Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, probably bound to pull off an upset this year. And of course, we saw Oklahoma pick off Alabama last season. So I think the road schedule is tricky, but I also think if you're expecting playoff and you've got somebody like Nussmeier, I think you got to be shooting for 10-2.
Yeah. How about this? Hey, what's this? Brian Kelly going to disappoint the family down there. Hey, shout out to Ben. I wasn't expecting $20 from anybody, but we appreciate you, Ghetto Streamlabs. Let's do Auburn. Wife's chicken and dumplings almost done. Need to see his team before supper. So let's do it. Let's go on a deep dive on the Auburn football program, courtesy of old Ghetto here. So again, if you are just listening back later, I'll run down the schedule real quick. Open the season at Baylor, tricky game there, before we come back home for Ball State and South Alabama. Then we're back on the road at Oklahoma. I got a lot of thoughts on that one. We'll save those for just a minute, though. Then we're at Texas A&M. So there you go, Stephen. It's the opposite. Last year, they had four straight home games to open the season. Now they've got three out of the first five away. Then you get your bye. Then you got Georgia at home, Mizzou at home, at Arkansas, Kentucky at home, at Vanderbilt. You need that bye after facing Diego Pavia, of course. Need that bye for old Mercer. Mercer at home, and then we wrap it up in the Iron Bowl. Over under win total for Auburn.
I am going with 8.5. I think the expectation for Hugh Freeze in year three ought to be a significant step forward. Auburn's, you know, getting Georgia, getting Alabama, getting Missouri at home. You know, it wouldn't shock me to see Auburn win a couple of those and maybe lose to an Arkansas on the road or, you know, some other, you know, Oklahoma, perhaps. There's going to be some up and down, I think, in this team. That game against Oklahoma has serious wild card potential to see how the season shakes out, not to mention the game against Baylor in the opener. But I feel like if you're Auburn and you've been recruiting at a top 15 level the last 2 years under Hugh Freeze, it's time to take a step forward. So I'm going 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, Stephen, but I'm going to go a notch below. I'm going to say 7.5 just because I know you get Georgia at home. I know you get Alabama at home. But the odds are, I think you drop both of those. Now, you could win them. Again, Hugh Freeze wins games that you don't see him winning at times. Of course, he loses games you don't see coming as well. That's a major problem for him. But I'm thinking that the odds makers, even though Georgia and Alabama are both at home, I think they're going to give those, they're going to lean Georgia and Alabama, fair or not. And then, so I think at least three more losable games here. So 7.5, I think that's right where it's going to be. Should it be 8.5? It should be. It should be. But I really wanted to ask you about this. I've, again, plugged the On Three show I was on today. We were talking about this September 20th matchup, Stephen. Auburn at Oklahoma. Who's under more pressure in that game? Brent Venables or Hugh Freeze? And heck, throw Jackson Arnold in there too. I don't know that there's a ton of pressure on him, but I think there is major, major pressure on both these coaches. And I would not be stunned at all if the loser of Auburn, Oklahoma. Not that they're going to turn around and fire the coach that day, but whoever loses that game, I think there's a great chance they get fired because it means that they're going to fail to meet expectations.
I would probably take Brent Venables as far as being under the most pressure, because if you're Brent Venables and your new OC, your new quarterback get beat by the guy that you got, you know, you cast off last season, it's probably not going to bode well for Oklahoma. Game, like I said, that game just screams wild card. I have no idea what to make of that game, but that is going to be a fascinating showdown.
Starch Manning says, over under, nice things Mike says about Hugh for the season. Take the under there, folks. But yeah, so I mean, do you see what I'm saying with Auburn with 7.5, though? I mean, you might be right. I think it should be kind of what you're saying, but I don't think Auburn and Hugh Freeze get the benefit of the doubt at this point in time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And also, I think you could look at their road games. Baylor, I think, will be one of the top teams in the Big 12 this year. Oklahoma, A&M, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, they could lose all of those road games. So even if you were to pull out the sweep of Georgia and Alabama, that road slate is very tricky. It's also very difficult. Right. It could easily be 2-2. After the first four games. So I'm just kind of banking on talent here and the addition of Jackson Arnold bumping up the win total.
Yeah, they need to do that badly. All right, how about this one, Stephen? This I'm fascinated to hear what you've got to say. Again, I'm just going in random order. Throw us a donation if you want your team covered. How about South Carolina, Stephen? What is the over-under for South Carolina Gamecocks? And let me go through the schedule real quick. They open the season against Virginia Tech in a Beamer Bowl down in Atlanta. I wish I was a home and home, but it's not. Then we're back home for South Carolina State, Vanderbilt at home. Then we're at Missouri, and then Kentucky at home. Then we get our bye week. And then it's at LSU, Oklahoma at home, Alabama at home, at Oklahoma. Then we get at Ole Miss, at you get your bye week, and then it's at Texas A&M. You get Coastal Carolina at home and Clemson at home. How about, I didn't realize that until I put those little icons up there for the conference, Stephen. Man, 8 consecutive SEC games for the Gamecocks, not doing any favors to Beamer and company. What do you have the over-under for South Carolina?
I've got it at 8.5. I kind of struggled with this one because I feel like this is a team that should be in the mix to make the playoff this year. And if that's the case, 8.5 is probably too low. Their schedule does seem very backloaded. You know, if you get LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Clemson, I mean, it's very likely there's a handful of top 25 teams there. But I not to mention the non-conference, I mean, Virginia Tech and Clemson is tricky. I think they'll be favored right to beat Virginia Tech. And of course they beat Clemson last year. So I kind of settled at 8.5.
I was hoping you said that, Stevie, because I was going to correct you. Not that I know more than you, but I just got a feeling that, hey, this is what Beamer does, man. I like him. I think he deserves his extension. I think he's doing a hell of a job. But also, it seems like when there's expectations, they fall short. When there's no expectations, they exceed it. I just think it's so hard in this conference. Now, you just won 9 games, 9-3. Wish you lost the bowl game, but 9-3. I just think that is so hard to replicate in this conference, particularly at South Carolina, losing some key players, bringing some major players back, of course. But I think the line is you might be 100% right on where the line is because of Sellers, because of Dylan Stewart, two players that when we did our top players in the entire SEC, I put both of them in the top 5. So I think they're elite. But the beauty of football, a couple of elite players does not make your team elite. I think the smart money is a little bit less than that. I went 7.5 for the Gamecocks. It doesn't mean they're going to fall short, but I think it'll be a little bit lower, and I could be wrong. And if it's more your number, I think it's going to be because the bettors are being enticed by Lenore Sellers, which I cannot blame them for. I think he's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the track record of Beamer's teams have been to get better in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, if that holds true again, they're breaking in the 3 new starters in the offensive line. Defensive line has some turnover. Line of scrimmage, concerns kind of worry me a little bit here.
Right.
But if they can navigate that first half of the schedule, and maybe you only lose to LSU, and yeah, the second half is tougher, but if that theory holds up again, they should be a better team in those final 6 games. So it is backloaded, but that also might play into what has been the strength of this team, which is improving as the season goes on.
Right. All right. How about this one, Stephen? Here's another fascinating one. Could go many different directions here. We talked a little bit about Venables. How about Oklahoma, Stephen? Let me run down the schedule real quick. Illinois State at home right out the gate. Michigan at home. At Temple, what the heck's going on there? Auburn at home. Then you get your bye week. Then you're Kent State at home. Then you get Texas down in the Texas State Fair, what have you. At South Carolina, Ole Miss at home. At Tennessee, then you get your bye week. At Alabama, Mizzou at home, and LSU at home. What a gauntlet. Who did Venables piss off in the SEC office? We need some damn answers. But first, I want an answer from Stephen on what Oklahoma's over-under should be.
I'm going to set it at 7.5.
Ooh.
Maybe that's too high. Mike, you can talk me out of this one. I think, first of all, I like this Oklahoma defense. You know, I know they're losing Danny Stetsman and Billy Bowman. Those are two guys that meant a lot to that defense. But I suspect this defense will still be as good, if not better, especially with Venables calling the plays. And I'm baking in some offensive improvement here. I like the fact that swing games, Auburn, Ole Miss, Missouri, maybe you could throw LSU and Michigan in there too. I think there's a good chance they'll steal the game somewhere. I could talk myself into 8 wins if things fall into play. So this is really how you feel about John Mateer and Ben Arbuckle. There is a ton of pressure on those two, and how you feel about those two kind of shape your W&L projection here.
Yeah, you seem to be a lot higher on all these teams than I am, which is fine. You could be the optimist. You be the good cop, I'll be the bad cop.
Just SEC Steven over here.
I'm going 6.5 for Oklahoma because of this gauntlet. I'm not saying, obviously, that's not the standard. And heck, I mean, surpassing this and going 7-5, I don't even know if they bring the coach back, because that shouldn't be good enough. You know what I mean? So, again, that would actually be better than 2 of the 3 years he's been there. But 7-5 is a horrible record for Oklahoma. But this schedule is not setting up. I mean, heck, you could put, you know, anyone short of Georgia and Texas against this schedule, they'd probably go no better than 8-4 or maybe 9-3. So I don't know, man. I would rather set the bar low, as pathetic as that sounds, and exceed expectations than to lie to Oklahoma fans and sit here and say, I expect you to win 7-8 games with this slate you got here. Now, if they get it right with John Mateer and the offensive hires they made, which I love the fact that all those guys worked together last year at Washington State, should make for a much more seamless transition on that side of the ball in Norman. And that's all you need, man. If you just have a competent offense with Brent Venables' defense, this could be the biggest surprise team in the SEC this season. But I'm setting the bar low, because this is a lot of what ifs. If this, if that, then something great could happen. We could kind of say that for every team in the conference.
Yeah, 100%. And I think my kind of thinking is, if Oklahoma could win 6 games last year, now granted, the Auburn game was pretty fortunate. If they could win 6 games with a pretty dysfunctional offense, a functional offense should be able to find them a W or two along the way. But also, when you look at that schedule, depending on whose preseason predictions you use, they could play 5 of the top 6 teams in the SEC this year. The only one they don't is Georgia. So that is incredibly tough, which leads me to, progress isn't necessarily counted up in W's and L's. You could just be a better team and it just doesn't show up in the record. And that wouldn't surprise me if we see that from Oklahoma this year, just given how difficult that schedule is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out the legend, Cousin Rick. We appreciate you, buddy. He just gave us $20. Love the show. This is the part of the season when everyone's undefeated. Giga baggies. So let's do A&M next, Steven, for Cousin Rick. And A&M, you know, a lot of those key games that you had at home last season, now, of course, on the road. So let's run down the schedule. UTEP, first game of the year at home. Utah State at home. Then we're at Notre Dame. Then we get an early bye to get ready for Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, and Florida at home. Then we're at Arkansas, at LSU, get our second bye, and we're at Missouri, and then home for South Carolina and Samford. And then we wrap up, of course, Texas in Austin. So, you know, as I run down the schedule, Stephen, it's not as difficult as, say, Oklahoma's schedule, but still very, very difficult road slate, but a lot of big time or a lot of home games right out the gate. And if they beat Notre Dame, I mean, this could be one of the hottest teams in the country heading into October.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at that schedule, the Notre Dame game kind of looms large, because I think A&M will be favored to beat Auburn, probably Florida as well. So there's a chance to get off to a 6-0 start. And also, when I look at their schedule, I see, was it 4 out of their last 6 games are on the road? And Samford is one of those home games. So South Carolina, Samford at the end of the year, they're basically spending a big chunk of the second half on the road. So despite all that, I'm going to be Mr. Optimistic here, Mike. I'm going to set it at 8.5 because I believe in Mike Elko. I believe this team will take a step forward again. I like them to be dogs against Notre Dame, LSU, and Texas, but I could see them winning the rest of the games on their schedule.
All right, Steven, this is the first one you got right. I'd say 8.5 too, so we nailed it. And I mean, insert your Texas 8-4 jokes, but I mean that's almost like a safe bet. That's where the over under should be every year for the Aggies. Set it at 8-4. Let them try to exceed expectations or fall short. It looked like they were going to smash it last season till the final month of the season occurred and broke many hearts there in College Station. But yeah, just the strides taken. Again, I hate to, because I like did all this research, I don't want to just keep throwing this at people's faces, but number two in the SEC in returning production on the defensive side of the, or excuse me, offensive side of the ball, number five on the defense, year two of a coaching staff that, again, they were 7-1. They were on top of the world before they came crashing down. But again, if they could take strides, and this is not just coaching taking strides, but players second year in the system. I'm looking at you, Marcel Reed. I'm looking at this dynamic running attack we had. I'm looking at the defense, which really, really started to kind of crater in the secondary late in the season. If we could correct these issues and given this coaching staff, Steven, they have a track record of being, you know, Mike Elko, Colin Klein. I mean, these guys have won at a high level. I think they can get it done. So I kind of like the over on this one, but I think 8.5, I think that's fair.
I think you said it best there, Mike. Marcel Reed kind of holds the keys to this team, because I do think when I look at this offense and see you've got everybody back on the offensive line, you've got a great group of running backs, improved receiving core. It's all there. It's all there for the quarterback to take a step forward, which the offense gets better, which offsets some of the defensive concerns coming into the season. Now you're replacing three studs up front, and there's still the secondary kind of concerns, even though they have added some guys from the portal. And of course, I kind of trust Mike Elko here to figure things out on defense. So a ton of pressure on Marcel Reed, but if they go to South Bend and win early in the season, I mean, it's all there for them, because they should be at that point 6-0, and you go into that stretch to where you play Texas and LSU, South Carolina in the second half, setting up kind of another run at the SEC championship.
Steven, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm buying back in to the Texas A&M hype when I vowed to never do it again. You know what I think is wrong, or I should say right with me?
You've been hanging out with me too much. That's probably why.
Well, not only that, well, I think I've been hanging out with my cornbread hip too long. Cornbread hip. This week, back on the show, cornbreadhemp.com/SEC. You get 30% off your full order. Don't forget, most importantly, that SEC at checkout to get 30% off over at Cornbread Hemp. What is this cornbread? How can I be lured back in by the Aggies every offseason, even though you swear you'll never do it again? By taking this Cornbread Hemp. All products, third-party tested, lab-tested, USDA organic, ensures safety and purity. So what is this? This is CBD THC gummies, Steven, that, you know, you really need this stuff. If you're an Aggie fan and you watch your team crater in the second half every season. So check out cornbreadhemp.com/SEC for 30% off your full order. They only use the best part of the hemp plant, the flower, for the purest, most potent CBD. Formulated to help relieve discomfort, stress, and sleeplessness. I mean, I just described what it's like being an Aggie right there, did I not?
You did. I think you summed it up well. I was going to go with the cornbread hemp bowl on September 20th, Auburn and Oklahoma.
That's even better. They could use it too. Everybody should get on that cornbread hemp. All right, how about one team we've not hit on, Steven? How about them dogs? Come on. Georgia, over, under. Here's the schedule breakdown. Marshall at home. Austin Peay at home. Steven, that's your school. Try not to be biased here. At Tennessee. Then we get your bye week for Alabama at home. We recently had Chris Barler on the show. He guaranteed an Alabama W on that one. That guy must be on some cornbread imp there. Kentucky at home, at Auburn, Ole Miss at home. Revenge game right there. Then we get our second bye for Florida, of course, in Jacksonville, at Mississippi State, Texas at home, Charlotte at home, and wrapping up Georgia Tech in Atlanta in the Mercedes-Benz. Not at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech sold out. They wanted a little bit more extra money for this series. So what do you have the over-under set at for the Georgia Bulldogs?
An interesting schedule observation. Georgia plays at Auburn on October 11th, and they will only leave the state of Georgia one more time the rest of the way, which is that Mississippi State game. So the second half of the schedule is pretty favorable. But this is Georgia. This is a team that should be competing for the national championship once again. Certainly, there are more questions, more turnover coming into the season. I believe in Kirby Smart. I think they're going to figure this out. So give me 10.5 for the over-under.
Oh, Steven, you nailed it again. 10.5 is the number, or at least what it should be for Georgia. You know, I don't know. You know, a lot of people in the comments pointing out there's only three true road games, and man, I know Tennessee, you know, that just made the playoff and all that, but they'll be favored in not only every road game. I think they're going to be favored in every game. Maybe not Texas if Arch Manning is just, you know, incredible, wins a Heisman, but still, that game being in Athens, I still got to lean Georgia to be the favorite in that football game. So I think it'll be favored in every game. Doesn't mean they'll win a ball, but I think 10.5 is that nice sweet spot, because even last year, which was a quote-unquote down year for them, they won the SEC. They did lose two games, but more often than not, I don't think you're going to see that from a Kirby Smart team, regardless of how difficult the schedule may be. So I think 10.5, and I think that's almost a safe bet to go over as long as there's no catastrophic injuries or anything.
Getting Alabama and Texas at home, that's pretty significant. Like, you know, obviously they beat Texas on the road last year. Texas is probably the biggest threat right now to Georgia at the top of the SEC. Alabama will be interesting. I think they're going to be in the playoff most likely this year. So two of your biggest games come at home. And, you know, you start to look at the rest of that schedule. Mississippi State's one of the other road games. That could be maybe the 16th best team in the conference. Auburn is tricky, but there's in Tennessee early in the season. That's probably the right time to get Tennessee with all the new faces they're going to be breaking in. So that schedule, while it is difficult, I think breaks in favor for Georgia with all the home games.
Yeah, it was like last year they tried to break him, didn't they, Steven? They said, well, we're going to give him at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss. Let's break these guys. And yet they still win the conference and had their quarterback not got hurt. Who knows? They may have won the whole thing, but yeah, 10.5. That's the number for Georgia. And shout out our guy, JR. What a legend. He's back again, Steven. This time he's gifted Chris McKnight a membership to the channel. Chris, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend, JR. Thank you so much, JR. You're the man. No one beats him. Just like, Did you ever watch Seinfeld, Steven? What is that? Nobody Beats Him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, what is that? That's been a long time.
Dang it. I had it, but I lost it. Maybe someone in the comments help us out. But while we figure that out, Steven, how about Florida? We just did Georgia. Let's do Florida over under win total for next season. I never even heard of this school, Steven, Long Island, but this is the first time and probably the only time I'll ever watch a Long Island game of my life. South Florida, both those games, of course, at home. Then we're at LSU, at Miami. We get a bye, and then we get Texas at home, at Texas A&M, Mississippi State at home. Then we get our second bye, face Georgia in Jacksonville, of course, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee at home, and wrap it up, Florida State at home. Should be a much-improved Florida Gators team, but my goodness, I mean, the schedule may be even more difficult than it was last year. What do you have the over-under for the Gators?
This is hard because I think they're a better team, but the schedule was very difficult. So I'm going to be a little bit on the lower side, and I'm going to say 7.5. Mike, am I crazy? Am I off, or am I just about right?
Crazy like a fox. Come on, Steven. That's exactly what I had. 7.5. And again, this is not me saying, you know, this is only a 7-win program or anything like that. I just think that with this schedule, and I don't know, you know, if Vegas, if they have caught on necessarily to how red hot the Florida Gators were at the end of the season. And you know, I think that's the million-dollar question. I think even Florida fans, in their heart of heart, you know, we all believe in DJ Lagway. Anybody that's actually watched him play knows he is an incredible, incredible player, maybe the best quarterback in the country already. I'm not saying he is, but I think he will be before long. But do we have faith that they can carry this over? Because, again, I think even the most diehard Florida fan will tell you the entire Billy Napier era, it's been one step forward, two steps back. I mean, that's just the way it's gone. Now, maybe they have finally hit that crossroads, and then it'll be much, much brighter moving forward. But I still think they're like a disaster away from everybody being upset. And again, I don't know if that even happens, but I'm circling LSU. I'm circling Miami. I'm circling Texas. I'm circling Texas A&M. If there's any lopsided results, there should be none. There should be none after what we just saw Florida win 8 games. I'm not saying that they're going to win all these games and beat everybody, but you just can't get embarrassed anymore. This is the University of Florida. What are we doing here? Yet, it wouldn't stun me if it happens, if that makes sense.
I think this conversation kind of looks a lot like Oklahoma in the sense of, I think they are going to be better. I don't know that there's necessarily the upside in the win total unless everything falls into place. And it is very possible Lagway could just be good enough that he elevates Florida into the playoff. Defense picks up where it left off. It's totally possible. I was just doing some just kind of rough thinking here. I wonder if Vegas may have them as an underdog in 5 games. LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, and Georgia. And that's not counting Ole Miss or Tennessee. Is that crazy to think?
No, I think you're 100% on.
And I think that kind of gets at the problem here is it may take an upset or 2 or 3 to get to 9-3 or 10-2. Now, if they go 9-3 with the schedule, there's a chance that that's in the mix to be a playoff team. We talked about 10-2 being the barrier last year, but with this schedule, 9-3, given how difficult it is a very viable playoff team.
No, I 100% agree with that, but easier said than done for sure. All right. How about mighty, mighty Texas? Come on, Steven, Texas opening the season. What an opener. I mean, this is going to be one of the best openers probably since Alabama, Florida State. Of course, that turned out to be a dud. But it was an offseason full of hype back in. That was the end of Jimbo Fisher, really, as an elite coach. But Texas will be opening at Ohio State, San Jose State at home week 2, UTEP week 3, Sam Houston week 4. All those 3, of course, at home. Then we got your bye week. We're at Florida. We got Oklahoma, again, in the Texas State Fair, of course, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State, Vanderbilt at home. Then we get another bye at Georgia, Arkansas at home, Texas A&M at home. What's the over-under win total for Texas?
I'm setting it at 10.5 for basically the one reason is I think they will be underdogs against Ohio State and against Georgia. I think there's a chance they could win both those games, but I think Vegas is probably going to look and go 10.5 for Texas.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought too, Steven. So give me 10.5 for Texas. You know, completely eliminates your margin for error, like kind of like you were suggesting. If you do lose to Ohio State, if you do lose to Georgia, and I don't even mean for the playoff, I just mean for the over-under. But, I mean, the rest of these, they should be favored in. They certainly won't be easy, but we'll see how good Oklahoma is. We'll see how good Florida and Texas A&M. Those are kind of 3 games that I think the other team's got a puncher's chance of beating Texas in a conference game at least. So, I think that's fair because, like you said, even if they beat Ohio State, if they beat Georgia, I still think I still think the number's 10 and a half because, again, who knows? I mean, would it be crazy if Florida's like a top 15 team? I don't think so. Would it be crazy if A&M's a top 10 team? I don't think so. I'm not projecting either one of those, but this schedule could be a little bit more tricky than people are thinking it is as of today.
Yeah, and I think when you look at their road games, Kentucky and Mississippi State likely to be picked at the bottom of the SEC. So if you're playing two of your road games are coming against maybe 15 and 16 or 13 and 14, wherever they end up, that's a huge plus. Now they get Georgia on the road. But there's just not a lot of glaring, obvious games here that scream toss up other than that game on October 4th against Florida. Because it's a week before playing Oklahoma. And so that could be set up as kind of a tricky kind of trap game situation. But I just don't see a ton of games here that Texas on paper should be, you know, favored by just a couple points. They should be a pretty heavy favorite in most of these games.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about speaking of Texas, little Texas rival here. How about, oh no, it's not up here. I thought I uploaded it. Maybe I didn't. All right, we're going to have to switch gears, Stephen, because I don't have their schedule, but I will track it down. Let's do, how about Ole Miss, Stephen? Ole Miss, Fighting Rebels here. Where do you have the over-under? Let me run down their schedule real quick. We got Georgia State. We got to stop. We have got to stop scheduling these that team if we're in the SEC, but it is at home. At Kentucky, Arkansas at home, Tulane at home, and LSU at home. These are some tricky games here for Ole Miss right out the gate. Then we get to your bye week for Washington State at home, at Georgia, at Oklahoma, South Carolina at home, Citadel at home, Florida at home, and then I hate this bye week for them, but you get your bye week, and then it's the Egg Bowl on the road. So what is the over-under for them Ole Miss Rebels?
This is a great schedule for Ole Miss, given those returning production numbers that we talked about at the beginning of the show, Mike. It is about as good as it gets, but I'm going to set it at 8.5 for Ole Miss. Maybe that's a little bit on the low side of things, but given what they lost, they have road games against Georgia, Oklahoma, I think LSU, South Carolina, definitely in toss-up territory. I could be convinced 9-3, 8-4. So I'm going to set it at 8.5.
Steven, you witty son of an onion. That's exactly what I got. Come on, 8.5 for Ole Miss. Again, I think the expectations is a lot higher than that for old Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, given what they have accomplished in recent seasons. But I don't know. I'm trying to, heck, if we go 8-4, I know we did it in 2022 there, but if we go 8-4 and that's like doom and gloom, the sky's falling, that should give you an indication of just how far he's taken this program. Not saying that's where we're going to be, because if you look at the schedule, I mean, I think you're going to be favored in nearly every game. Georgia's the exception, maybe LSU, but that may be it. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win them all, but I don't know. 8.5 feels right, given what I know about Ole Miss today.
Very much a, I think, wild card team, just given what they lost, but also the track record of Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss suggests that they're probably going to be fine. Also, just a little bit of a interesting nugget. On September 20th, when they play Tulane's starting quarterback could be the well-traveled TJ Finley. Shoot offered. So some old SEC friends popping up on the slate for 2025.
Yep. All right, man, I'm still trying to track down. People are gonna think I hate Arkansas. I deleted their schedule somehow, but son of a. All right, so let's do, how about, we haven't hit this one yet, Steven. How about old Alabama with Kalen DeBoer? Is he firmly on the hot seat? Well, he better. He's going to be week one if he doesn't get a win at Florida State. That's your opener for Alabama. ULM at home. Wisconsin at home. Then you get your bye week for Georgia in Athens. It's an incredibly difficult game, arguably the toughest place to win a football game in the country. Vanderbilt at home, at Missouri, Tennessee at home, at South Carolina. Then we get our second bye for LSU at home, Oklahoma at home. I believe that is, I always forget this. I think it's Southern Illinois or something like that.
Eastern Illinois, yeah.
Eastern, yeah, it's one of them. Directional Illinois. You're going to beat them by 100. And then at Auburn for the Iron Bowl, what is the over-under, you think, for Alabama?
Mike, first of all, if Alabama loses to Florida State, the meltdown that's going to happen the next week on the message boards on Feinbaum Show is going to be level five, like nuclear fire type stuff. So I would highly recommend that Kalen DeBoer and Alabama take care of business against Florida State. But I like it at 9.5. I think this is a team that should be in the mix to make the college football playoff. The defense should be one of the best in the country. I know they've got some question marks at the quarterback position. Got to fill in the offensive line a little bit. Georgia, South Carolina, Auburn, Missouri, all tough road games, but you do get Tennessee and LSU at home. So if you can take those, maybe you lose to Georgia, you split the other two, that gets you in that 9-10 win range. So I'm setting the bar high for Kalen DeBoer's second season.
Yeah, I've got it right there at 9.5. So, again, should that be the standard? I don't think it should be, but that's where I'm at. With Alabama, how many of these road games, again, at Florida State, at Georgia, at Mizzou, at South Carolina, at Auburn, how many do you think that Alabama will be an underdog in?
Man, that's a good question. I think in the preseason, they'll probably be favored in all three of those games outside of the Georgia one. Don't you?
Yeah, I think that is safe to assume, but I think that could change. I think that could change in a hurry, particularly if they lose to Georgia and certainly if they lose to Florida State.
Yeah.
Which, again, I don't think that's going to happen. But, and who knows? What if Tennessee beats them? I know that's in Tuscaloosa, but last time I checked, see, Josh Heupel's undefeated against old Kalen DeBoer. It's just 1-0. But still, he's undefeated against them. So who knows? And Tennessee has played really well in recent seasons in Tuscaloosa. They were winning at halftime 2 years ago. So, again, I don't think as of today, yeah, I think only Georgia they'd be underdogs in. But I think by the time the Iron Bowl gets here, I think by the time that South Carolina game gets here, potentially they could be underdogs in maybe that entire final column. So, I don't know. I mean, the over-under should never be 9.5, I don't think, with Alabama, as long as they're as talented as they are. But I think there are legitimate questions on how good Kalen DeBoer really is and if he's a good fit there in Tuscaloosa.
I don't know if this makes sense, but it's almost like I would pick them to be favored in those games right now outside of the Georgia game. I don't think they win all of those, though. I think South Carolina, Auburn, Missouri, we'll see how they pan out. But it feels like Alabama's probably going to get beat in one of those other road games outside of Georgia.
All right, so hey, I've managed to finally crack down the Arkansas schedule. So here it is. All right, so let's do Arkansas next, Steven. Here's the schedule for those listening back later. Alabama A&M at home. Arkansas State, finally, we're getting Arkansas State at home, of course. Ole Miss on the road at Memphis. Why are we going to Memphis? I don't know, but at Memphis. Notre Dame at home. What a marquee game for Sam Pittman and company to really galvanize this fan base. Then you get your bye week at Tennessee, Texas A&M at home. We're getting that one back. I love seeing all these home games here. They're going to need them. Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home. Then we're on the road after a bye at LSU, at Texas. Good night. And then Mizzou at home. So here's another gauntlet here, Stephen. What's the over-under for them Razorbacks?
I'm going to set it at 6.5. So I'm a little bit concerned about some of the personnel losses, But I'm also weighing that against the Petrino Talon Green tandem that I think could be really productive this year. And that's kind of overcoming some of my concerns about personnel and schedule. On the schedule, you know, Ole Miss early in the season, that's a good time to catch them. It's not great. It's on the road. Memphis also lost a lot from last year. They were a pretty good team in the AAC. So that's a good time to catch them. They also get some swing games. Auburn, Missouri, Texas A&M, getting those at home is huge. Mississippi State, that they should be favored in that one. So 6.5 is pretty optimistic, I think, for Arkansas.
Yeah, that's a little rich for my blood, Steve. But I went 5.5. And again, not that that should be the standard, not that I'm predicting that they're going to win just 5 games. But, man. Ooh, maybe flip again. They should beat Memphis regardless of where that game's played. But flip that one, and maybe I'm feeling a little bit better because it's tough, man. At Ole Miss, the placement of that Memphis game too is just so tricky, sandwiched between Ole Miss and Notre Dame. And boy, they better not overlook Arkansas State either. That's one where like this is one landmine after another for old Sam Pittman. He loses to Arkansas State. They're probably going to fire him. They lose at Memphis, they're probably going to fire him. You know what I mean? Like, these are games that those fans and that program is not going to tolerate losing, and we haven't even got to the hard part of the schedule yet. Yeah. By the time those occur. So, yeah, I think, quite honestly, I'd be a little bit surprised if Arkansas went to a bowl game. So, I'm putting it at 5.5.
Butch Jones, Arkansas State, week 2. can't wait for him to pop back up on the SEC screens there for that week 2 matchup. But, man, that schedule for Sam Pittman, the bye week before the Tennessee game, if things really spiral out of control, that's like a prime time for a coaching change. And even the later one, I mean, if you start thinking like we saw this year, there weren't a ton of power conference changes, but mid-November, that's when they start happening. You get the bye week going into the November 15th game. That's one of those times where I could see if the season plays out in the 4-8, 5-7 range, that could easily be a coaching change time period. But I would feel better if I was Arkansas. I mean, I love the fact they're playing Notre Dame. They're playing Memphis. Like these are good quality non-conference games. But if you want a schedule to get to a bowl game, I think I'd find a way to schedule like UTEP and you know, Akron or somebody just to make sure you get there.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of where I see it for Arkansas. How about their greatest rival? They love when we say that, Stephen. Their greatest rival, Mizzou, come on down. Maybe, well, I think it is the most generous schedule in the entire conference here with Central Arkansas, the Purple Bears there. I think that's what they are. Kansas at home, Louisiana at home, South Carolina at home, UMass at home. Good Lord, who made this schedule? You get your bye week after all these home trips. You get Alabama at home. So 6 straight home games to open the season. Whoever Venable's pissed off up there in the SEC office, Drink must have kissed their behind or something. We're going at Auburn. We're going at Vanderbilt. Again, 2 winnable games, even though they're on the road. Get your bye week for Texas A&M at home, Mississippi State at home, at Oklahoma, and at Arkansas to wrap us up. Steven, what's the over-under for Mizzou?
I'm afraid I'm going to be on the lower side of this one. I love their schedule. It's one of the more favorable paths in the SEC, but I'm going to set it at 7.5. Is that crazy?
This is the one we're going to be the most different on here, Stephen. I went 9.5. Again, we've won 21 games in 2 years. And again, we don't know about the quarterback. You know, so even when we talk about old Bo, some people are like, "Well, forget about old Sam Horn." But you don't pay $1.5 million to sit on the bench. But be that as it may, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, they're going to win 10 games or anything like that. But I think the schedule sets up pretty well for it. So I think that is, honestly, I think that's the expectation given the last 2 years, given this schedule. I think it's going to be closer to 9, 9.5. I really do.
Here's my thinking on the over under. I think Vegas, and there's a lot of smart people that make these lines, so I hesitate to say that I know what I'm talking about over those guys, but I'm going to guess they're going to see Brady Cook being gone, Luther Burden, a lot of offensive turnover, and that translating into some tricky road games at Auburn, at Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Arkansas. I think those are tricky for Missouri, especially if you don't know how Prabula or Sam Horn or another quarterback ends up there. I like Missouri. If 7.5 ends up where it is, I love the over for them because I think they're a lot closer to your point to 9 wins. But it wouldn't shock me given the fact they play South Carolina. Even they've been very successful against them. They get Alabama and they have those tricky road games with a lot of offensive turnover. It wouldn't shock me to see their win total at 7.5. But Mike, I'm probably wrong here. It probably needs to be a lot closer to 8.5 or 9.
Shout out Cousin Bobby. He says, old Log Island could win 7 games with this Mizzou schedule. So it is what it is. But yeah, credit to them for getting the schedule they've gotten. All right. Hey, how about Cousin Shane in the comments? I think he's here just for this one. Stephen, Tennessee, come on down. Here's the schedule. Syracuse in Atlanta. Why are we still doing these neutral sites? I'll never know. I thought Danny White was an elite AD. This is a black mark on him, though, here, in my opinion. ETSU at home. Georgia at home. UAB at home. Man, talk about a gift of a schedule. And at Mississippi State, then you get your first bye. You get Arkansas at home, at Alabama, at Kentucky. And you wrap it up with Oklahoma at home before another bye. Then you get New Mexico State at home. You're at Florida. And then you've got Vanderbilt at home to close out the regular season. Over or under for them Vols?
Set it at 9.5. I don't want to say that Tennessee's got a 3-game schedule, but there's 3 games on the schedule that really stand out, Mike. It's the home game against Georgia, the road game against Alabama, and that road game against Florida. They should be favored in all of the other games. So I like 9.5 for Tennessee.
Yeah, that's exactly where I've got it set, and that's kind of like this is what I've been torn on all off season up to this point. I think this is the number, meaning that they're likely to go 9-3 or 10-2. That would be my honest opinion at this point in time. But I would be shocked if it's anything other than the 9.5, even all the way up to kickoff. So I think that's the perfect number for Tennessee. And man, just don't ask me to put money on whether they're going to go over or not. But given Heupel's track record, there's reason to believe they will go over that 9.5.
Totally agree. I'm just looking at their schedule, Mike. Georgia, Alabama, and Florida, I think, might be the only ranked teams that they play in the preseason rankings. Some people might rank Vanderbilt or Oklahoma, but you're looking at 3 or 4 ranked opponents. So again, it kind of gets back to like there's 3 games and kind of where you think the W's and L's fall gets you to 9 or 10. It's just on upsets are going to happen, but on paper it's really hard to see Tennessee losing right now to Mississippi State or Kentucky. Also, Syracuse in the season opener, they lost Kyle McCord, who had a great year for them last season. Syracuse was very good and surprisingly last year, but they are losing quite a bit. So that is a great time to play Syracuse if you're Tennessee in the season opener.
Yeah. Yeah. That's and someone in the comments says Syracuse not going to be preseason ranked. What's your thoughts on that? How close would Syracuse potentially be to a top 25 preseason ranked team?
I think probably closer to top 40, honestly. I don't want to turn Mike's show into an ACC preview show, but they have one of the tougher schedules in the ACC this year. So I would suspect there's going to be some win regression. Outside of schedule, they also, like I mentioned, they lose their really good quarterback in Kyle McCord.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of really good quarterbacks, Stephen, how about Vanderbilt? Come on down. Number one offensive and number one defensive returning production. That's got to count for something. We'll see. But here's the schedule. ETSU at home, at Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, Georgia State. Oh, good Lord. Georgia State's on 2 SEC schedules. What are we doing here? This revenge game, at least for Vanderbilt, Utah State at home, and then at Alabama, speaking of revenge game. And then we get a bye week, we got LSU at home. We got Mizzou at home. Then we're at Texas, Auburn at home. Then we get another bye week. We got Kentucky coming to town, and then we're at Tennessee. You know, as you go down this list, though, Stephen, I mean, this on paper looks like a very, very difficult schedule for Vanderbilt.
It really does. And this is something that I'm battling is I like the personnel for Vanderbilt. I like the trajectory. I like Diego Pavia coming back. But I'm also looking at that schedule going, it's pretty tough. So I'm going to set it at 6.5. Is that too low, Mike?
Oh, I said 5.5. Because quite frankly, you know, they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. Not from the odds makers, not from anybody that's putting their money where their mouth is. And hey, it's a great story, but people ain't buying it until you do it for multiple years in a row. I think they're set up to get that done. And again, I mean, just look at last year's schedule. Virginia Tech, they were underdog. Alabama, of course, underdog. I think even at Kentucky, I think they may have been an underdog. And I know for a fact they were at Auburn. So, you know, we could sit here and say, well, they're going to be underdogs in all these games. Well, they just proved that they can overcome that. But it's not going to be easy, certainly. So give me 5.5. I think that's the number for Vanderbilt. And I'm rooting for them to exceed expectations once again.
When I look at their schedule, I think they should go at least 3-1 in non-conference play. Charleston Southern, Georgia State, Utah State. They should be favored and should take care of business. Should, considering they lost to Georgia State last year. So when you look at their SEC schedule, though, it seems like the path to a bowl game, at least the path of probably least resistance, is beating Kentucky, Auburn, and Missouri at home. They could certainly pull off a road upset, but South Carolina, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, I mean, all of those are top, you know, 15 to 20 type teams this year. So I don't know. It 5.5 might be a little bit more realistic for this team, given how difficult that road schedule is. And there's probably a good chance they are not favored to beat a Missouri or beat an Auburn at home. So it may take an upset to get to 6 wins.
Right. Yeah, I think that's accurate. All right. How about we're only down to 2 more here, Stephen. How about Mississippi State? Here's their schedule. Southern Miss at Southern Miss. Oh, no. Why are we doing this? Arizona State at home. Alcorn at home. Northern Illinois at home. Tennessee at home. A lot of home games here, if nothing else. At Texas A&M, then we get our first bye before going to Florida. Texas at home. At Arkansas. Georgia at home. At Mizzou. Final bye before the Egg Bowl, where we host Ole Miss. Steven, over under for Mississippi State.
Let's go 4.5. Let's try to give some optimism here that Mississippi State maybe exceeds expectations just a bit. When I look at their schedule, Alcorn State's probably the easiest win on there. Their non-conference schedule is a little trickier than I think maybe you might think on first glance, because Southern Miss wasn't very good last year, but I think they're going to be a lot better. Northern Illinois, of course, beat Notre Dame, and Arizona State's the defending Big 12 champ. So maybe I'm too optimistic here, but I'm going 4.5.
Ooh, yeah. I hate to say it, Stephen. That is too rich for my blood. Give me 3.5 for old Mississippi State coming off a 2-10. Man, Lord, let them be better. These fans deserve better than even 4-8. Or 5-6. I mean, this is a storied program. I just don't see it. I mean, here's another one that they just loaded up the schedule, ridiculously difficult. I don't think they're going to be favored in a single SEC game. And I think, who knows? I mean, they'd almost be lucky to go 3-1 in the non-conference. So give me 3.5 for Mississippi State. And I hope this is the beginning that we see where the vision that Jeff Levy has, maybe it starts to begin to show so we can stop doubting them.
I hate to go back to this, but it feels like Mississippi State could absolutely be a better team, and it just may not show up at all in the win total. It's 8 SEC games, 7 against preseason top 25 teams, and the other one is Arkansas, and it's on the road. So one of your biggest opportunities to get a win is on the road, and also you have a very tricky non-conference schedule. So I think if you set it at 4.5, you're kind of playing the idea that they're due for an upset, and that's Arizona State. So you get that one, and you're playing the averages that maybe they find their way to a win in SEC play, because generally I think most teams are going to win one game in conference play most years. So you're kind of banking on two upsets. So 4.5, maybe too optimistic for Mississippi State. It's probably a little bit closer to 3.5.
Mm. All right. So speaking of optimistic, final team here, Kentucky. Oh, man, I'm rooting for you, Kentucky. Toledo at home, Ole Miss at home, Eastern Michigan at home before a bye. Man, why are we giving them a bye 3 weeks in the season? I'll never know. Then at South Carolina, at Georgia, then another bye. What are we doing here with the byes? Texas at home, Tennessee at home, at Auburn, Florida at home, Tennessee Tech, at Vanderbilt, and Louisville at home to round us out. Steven, what is your projected over-under win total for Kentucky?
I'm maybe too optimistic here, Mike. I'm going 4.5.
I think you hit it. I think you hit it. I think you hit it right on ahead. Get me 4.5 for the fighting Mark Stoops here.
I think when you start kind of studying Kentucky's schedule, Toledo in the season opener, no guarantee. They beat Mississippi State pretty bad last year. Eastern Michigan also been kind of tricky in non-conference matchups against power conference teams. Also, some of their swing games, you know, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Louisville, maybe you would throw South Carolina in there. They're on the road. They're getting Tennessee, Texas, Florida, and Ole Miss at home. They beat Ole Miss last year. I just don't see a lot of opportunities for wins based upon the schedule, but also considering the question marks they have about this team this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And watch out for the Rebels. that revenge game big time right there. But, this is one team I hope I'm dead wrong about, because there was a time, Steven, not that long ago, they were on the upswing. And unfortunately, just seems like they have crashed and crashed hard. And this has the feelings of, as bad as Mississippi State looked at times last season, if I was going to put my money on one team being that bad in the SEC this year, it wouldn't be Mississippi State. It'd be Kentucky.
What percentage, this may be a tricky question, but when I think about Mark Stoops, I think about track record. I think about maximizing talent, getting the most out of the roster. What's your confidence level in maybe a percentage form that he can sort of exceed the expectations again by following that same format, even though they have all these questions this year? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let's say 0 out of 100, it's probably only about 15%, to be honest with you, because again, it's accurate to say, this may seem totally disrespectful, but, and I thought it was wise to do this. But their program has largely been built on a couple things, but recruit and develop, and that is just not, unfortunately, the system that we live in now in college football. And secondly, it was on beating the heck out of your non-conference, never scheduling any difficult teams, which you didn't have to because you got Louisville. So that there's your Power Five. So and you kind of own them after. After I believe he started slow the first couple of years, and once he got that win, then he's owned them. So he's automatically at 4 wins every year, and they go 3-5 or 4-4 in the SEC, and that's a heck of a year, and they can't even count on the non-conference anymore, I don't think. So I just think it's I guess to answer your question, I've always said he, and the data proves it's not just me saying it, but the data says he's a C coach. And basically that means he wins the games he's supposed to. He loses the games he's supposed to. Every time he upsets someone, he seemingly loses to someone he shouldn't lose to. So the grade says he's a C coach. That's kind of what he is. And I don't know how you punch above your weight if you don't have the talent and you've not had the ability to develop because of the portal and all those things.
Yeah, and trying to punch above your weight this year, given the schedule difficulty, but also just six returning starters. And, you know, some of the losses, you know, Deion Walker, you know, Dumas Johnson, the list goes on. It's pretty lengthy. And so it's going to be an interesting year, knowing that in the background, Stoops has been good at, you know, developing, maximizing a roster. And here's a lengthy list of transfers coming to Lexington amidst a very difficult schedule and what they can get out of it. I mean, there's you see the buzzwords now about more accountability and all that in the roster. And that sounds good. It's just hard to find, I think, W's right now for this team.
Yeah, it really is. But I hate to end on such a downer. Any positive thoughts before we close this one?
How about the magazine, the Athlon Sports College Football Magazine, Mike, hard at work on it. I was messing around with returning starters from the Mountain West earlier today. Our old SEC friend Dan Mullen hanging out there at UNLV. So it won't be long, my friend, before spring football is here. That's about the best thing I could be optimistic about, right?
Yeah, Stephen don't care if it's basketball, baseball. He doesn't even know that's happening right now. So his mind is always on college football. That's why we very, very much value and appreciate the time you spend on here. Stephen, before we close this one out, can you tell all the cousins how to find your work and how to follow you on social media?
Absolutely. You can check out all my writings and work at AthlonSports.com. You can also check me out on Twitter at AthlonSteven and StephenLCFB over on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, I appreciate you once again for showing up and doing all this hard work. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.